This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Central Edition area is Boise's first LIV district. That's a geographic area that inspires and engages residents to address sustainability and develop a balanced approach to life, work, and play. That means lots of LEED certified buildings, new geothermal energy, and smart design sidewalks in this downtown spot. But long before that, we're talking around 1890, it was platted as a neighborhood with big historic houses where Boise's movers and shakers lived. Some of those houses have been moved and renovated as new structures come in. The group Preservation Idaho is highlighting the addition's past and its future in October with their 17th annual Heritage Homes Tour. Here today to talk more about the Central Edition is Paula Benson, the president of the Board of Preservation Idaho, and Dan Everhart with the State Historic Preservation Office. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
Okay, so for people who don't really know or can visualize, where is the Central Edition exactly?
It is located south of Front Street, north of Myrtle, and generally speaking, it's between 5th and 2nd.
So that kind of plot of land right in there. So take us back to 1890 when the area was first platted, because what did it look like then?
Well, when it was platted, before its platting and sale as individual home lots, it had been orchards by platted by Lafayette Cartier and Thomas and Julia Davis. They had planted huge tracts of fruit trees, and part of the selling point of buying a lot in Central Edition was that you didn't have to wait for mature landscaping. You were literally in an orchard. So there are historic photos of houses surrounded by fruit trees, and there were early statesman articles talking about fruit theft in the neighborhood. And irate homeowners who were annoyed that passersby would steal
their fruit,
plums, or whatever.
Yeah, you know. So, who were the movers and shakers who lived in the neighborhood?
Well, the neighborhood had a mix of incomes, actually, both sort of blue collar as well as white collar professionals. Some of the most well known included Judge Stewart, who was a Supreme Court justice for Idaho. Jeweler, Mr. Fowler, who was a jeweler, an attorney, several other sorts of people like that. And then there were carpenters sort of down at the 2nd Street end of the neighborhood, where carpenters and painters, laborers, living in much, much smaller houses. So a very interesting, eclectic mix of styles and sizes of and types of houses.
So before 2016, some of those historic homes were moved out of the neighborhood, so they actually wouldn't be demolished. So tell us about what there are three homes that are still in Boise, correct?
There are three homes. There were several homes that were moved, but there's three that are still in Boise, and that will be on our tour for inside touring. The first one is the Jones House, which one of our board members, Frank Eld, and his wife Kathy moved, and they did a true restoration, which is where you really take the house back to the period in which it was built, and it is amazing inside. I call it sort of like a museum, but I'm not sure Frank really likes that because they do live in it. It's a very livable house, but you'll see what a home like that in that era lived and looked like. And there's an amazing amount of memorabilia, of wonderful historic photos and all kinds of antiques. Everything has a story in the house. The Fowler House is another beautiful home that was moved and is actually up for sale. So it's been remodeled is what we would call it, but it has original woodwork and Eastlake hardware, beautiful natural original elements, but updated for modern homes, modern families. So that's a different look at it. And then the final one is the Zimmer Wood House, which is now the Sturiel Place and is open for events. And that is also a lovely rehabilitated home that serves as a public space now. But the entire building will be on the tour, not just the public spaces. So you'll get to see private homes, you'll get to see public spaces, but in new ways that you haven't seen before, as well as a few warehouses that have now become new wonderful buildings living alongside these basically skyscrapers in the Central Edition.
We're speaking with Paula Benson, the president of the Board of Preservation Idaho, and Dan Everhart with the State Historic Preservation Office. We're talking about the history and the future of Boise's Central Edition neighborhood. Let's talk about how this neighborhood has changed over time, because it's gone through some rough patches. I mean, I remember, you know, when I came to Boise 20 years ago, I mean, it was a little, you know, I mean, sketchy for Boise, let's be honest. But I mean, it has undergone this renaissance now that I don't think people could even necessarily understand kind of those rough patches it went through.
Right. It changed a lot over the course of its evolution. So in 1890, when it was platted, as you say, movers and shakers of the city lived there, as well as working class people. In 1906, a rail spur went in just immediately north of the neighborhood along Front Street, what we
call
Front Street today. That really put in place a decline in the neighborhood. The doctors and dentists didn't want to live there anymore, so close to the railroad. It became much more a solidly working-class neighborhood, but still a neighborhood. It wasn't until the mid-90s when the couplet, what we think of the connector, came in to downtown Boise. It put a major highway, essentially, on either side of the neighborhood, and then it was no longer a place for families, working class or not. And so that's when you would have seen it
right.
The first time, was when it was sort of this neighborhood transitioning to a much more transient occupancy, mm-hmm. not a family neighborhood at all. And since then, really since about 2005, it's been a place where property value has superseded historic value, and the demolition of almost every single house in the neighborhood has occurred. There's only about 5 or 6 houses left from the original neighborhood, and most of what is there now, service parking lots, gravel lots, and a few both proposed and already constructed mm-hmm. new buildings. So it's a big change in the neighborhood in the last, let's say, 15 years.
Good or bad, though, when we see changes like that, or both?
Well, as preservationists, we value significant architectural and historic properties. But we embrace change. We understand that it's inevitable. Our goal with these tours is twofold. The first is to come out and have fun, see places you wouldn't normally see, learn about the history of a neighborhood and see how it's evolved to what it is now. But the second is education that we hope evolves into advocacy. This city is full of historic buildings, but it's a dwindling inventory. We work very hard, as we did in the Central Edition, we work very hard with the city to try to develop a demolition review ordinance, to develop policies and ordinances that will identify National Register eligible and National Register listed buildings and put active protections in place that will encourage growth, but will encourage it around mm-hmm. those buildings onto the many vacant lots, surface parking lots, and non-significant historic buildings. Plenty of room for growth. We appreciate and understand that. We're just trying to have it develop in a thoughtful way that preserves the cultural history that we can't get back once we knock it down.
Well, I was going to say, because once it's gone, it's gone. And when we look back into, what, the 70s, and this was kind of across the country, where historic buildings and homes were just demolished to make way for growth. And you do lose something
Absolutely.
When that happens.
Yeah. For sure. No, there's a loss to our cultural fabric. There's these touchstones that people, you know, people have. They physically and mentally connect to a historic place, and those connections are severed. Even when a building is relocated, we'd argue, of course, that the relocation of a building is preferable to its outright demolition. But still, its relocation from one place to another irreparably changes that history. So while these houses were preserved and we're grateful that they were, their story has changed. And certainly the neighborhood in which that story was originally told has changed in a way that I think most people would never recognize it again.
And what's interesting to me is I think back to, you know, if you talk with someone who's grown up in this area, right? And you can walk with them and they'll say, oh, I remember when this building was, you know, that. Or, I mean, I know, you know, my husband was born and raised here, and there's a building on State Street that he was like, when I was a kid, that was Idaho Power. And it's that historical kind of just, it's not significance necessarily, but it is that identity.
Right.
And it is personal significance. You know, we talk about diversity in nature being important. We talk about diversity in demographics. Well, we talk about diversity in building style and age. Our goal is to have Boise and the entire state have a diversity of buildings from every era that represents not only the personal stories that people have, but the public stories and the history and the people that are attached to those buildings. It's not just the building. It's all of the life that went on in it that brought us to this point.
So on the tour, this really is going to let people also see kind of some of the current trendy spots in the Central Edition as well, right?
That's correct. After you're done looking at the three houses, you go back to the Central Edition, or you can start there. We've got a couple of businesses that were old warehouses when the railroad came in, and then the railroad spurs. You can imagine when you had a lot of spurs, there were a lot of warehouses and businesses that relied on the railroad for distribution or receiving of goods. So we've got a handful of great buildings that are left, and through adaptive reuse, they've become LEED Platinum certified buildings. We've got one that was a Chrysler dealership that now is an art gallery, as well as an artistic studio where some of the great signs in Boise are made. We're going to have an exclusive art show by Jeffrey Kruger, who's a wonderful, very well-renowned artist, local landscape artist. He's putting an exhibit together strictly for our show on what we call lost homes, paintings he's done of houses he's seen all around the West that have been taken off their original site and are waiting for a new place. So there's quite a bit to do, and Boise Brewing and the Wilder have graciously offered special deals for ticket holders, and we will have a more limited amount of tickets this year. So we are not anticipating day of sale. So if you do want to come, and we hope you do, we hope you buy a ticket ahead of time.
And when is the tour?
Sunday, October 6th from 11 to 3 p.m.
Okay, and people can get tickets where?
Online, preservationidaho.org.
All right. I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking more about this. We've been talking with Paula Benson, the president of the Board of Preservation Idaho, and Dan Everhart with the State Historic Preservation Office about the history and future of Boise's Central Edition neighborhood. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.